Joseph, somewhere on the Atlantic Ocean, 1939, 22 days from home, pages 253 through 258. Joseph watched his sister splashing around happily in the swimming pool on A deck. Other kids chased each other around on the promenade, watched movies, played shuffleboard. For as much as he wanted to grow up, Joseph wished now that he could join them, be a little kid again, cheerfully oblivious to what was going on around him. But he wasn't a kid anymore. He had responsibilities, like keeping his sister and his mother safe. Papa told him what the concentration camps were like. He couldn't let that happen to Ruthie and his mother. "Are you ready?" It was Posner. He stood in the shadow of a smokestack, looking around nervously. Joseph nodded. He had agreed to help take over the ship. He had to do something, and this was the only thing he could do. "What about Scheindick and his firemen?" Joseph asked as they walked. "We've got a distraction for them down on D-deck, but we have to move fast." The rest of the group came together near the social hall. There were 10 men, including Joseph. They all carried metal candlesticks and pieces of pipe. Some of the men were Papa's age, like Posner, and some of them were in their 20s. Joseph was by far the youngest. 10 men, Joseph thought. A minion. 10 Jews came together not to worship, but to mutiny. Posner put a small length of lead pipe in Joseph's hand, and suddenly the weight of what Joseph was about to do was very real. "Lead on," Posner said. Joseph took a deep breath. There was no turning back now. He held his fellow mutineers into the maze of crew corridors. Just outside the bridge in the chart room, where all the maps were stored, they came across Ostermeyer, the first officer. He looked up from the mat cabinet with a surprise. But before he could do anything, Posner and one of the other men grabbed him and pushed him through the door into the bridge. Joseph was startled by how rough they were being with Ostermeyer, but he tried to swallow his fear. Taking over the ship wasn't going to be easy, and this was the only start. There weren't as many people on the bridge as there had been when Joseph visited. Just one officer and 3 sailors. The sailor at the ship helm saw them first, and he let go of the steering wheel to drive for an alarm. One of the passengers got to him first, slamming into the helmsman and sending him tumbling to the floor. The mutineers quickly surrounded the other sailors, threatening them with their makeshift clubs. And they had done it. Just like that, they had taken the bridge. Joseph's heart raced as he looked around, wondering what was next. Stretched out before them was the great green-blue Atlantic Ocean, and beyond that, still days away, Germany and the Nazis. Up on the little platform at the back of the room, steering wheel teetered back and forth, and Joseph wondered crazily if he should jump up there and turn the ship around himself. "Send for the captain," Posner told the first officer. Warily, Ostermeyer went to the ship's intercom and summoned the Captain Schroeder to the bridge. As soon as Captain Schroeder stepped on to the bridge, he understood what was happening. He spun to leave, but Joseph and one other man blocked his exit. "Who's in charge here?" Captain Schroeder asked. "What do you mean by all this?" Posner stepped forward. "We mean to save our lives by taking over the ship," he said, "and sailing it to any other country but Germany." Captain Schroeder put his hands behind his back and walked to the middle of the bridge. He looked out at the ocean, not Posner. "The other passengers will not support you, and my crew will overpower you," he said, matter of factly. "All you are doing is laying yourselves open to a charge of piracy." Posner and the others looked around at each other nervously. Joseph couldn't believe they were so easily losing their resolve. "We hold you here as hostages," Joseph said. "You'll have to do as we say." Even Joseph was surprised he'd spoken up, but his words seemed to put a little more steel back into the mutineers' resolve. Captain Schroeder turned back to look at Joseph. "The crew will obey only me," he said calmly, "and I will give no order. No matter what you do, that will take my ship off its set course. And without that order, you can do nothing. What will you do? Pilot the ship yourself?" Joseph blushed and stared at the ground, remembering his crazy urge to take the wheel when he didn't even know how it worked or where to go. Captain Schroeder helped his fallen helmsman back to his feet and led him to the steering wheel. The man was still shaking from the attack, but he took the helm and strained the ship on course. "You have done enough already for me to prefer serious charges against you," Captain Schroeder said, still frustratingly even kneeled. "If I do, I can assure you that you will most certainly be taken back to Germany, and you know what that means." Joseph steamed. He didn't know what that meant, but what Captain Schroeder know? But what did Captain Schroeder know? Really know? How many Germans really understood what was happening in the concentration camps? Joseph knew because his papa had told him, had shown him when he jumped overboard and tried to kill himself. Joseph wasn't about to let his mother and sister end up in one of those camps. "You would do that to us?" one of the men asked the captain. "You are doing it to yourselves," Schroeder said. "Listen, I understand and sympathize with your desperation," Posner huffed. "You have no idea what we've been through, any of us." Captain Schroeder nodded. "No, you're right. But no matter what's been done to you, what you're doing now is a real criminal act. By law, I should have you all thrown in the brig. But I'm willing to overlook all of this if you leave the bridge right now and give me your word you will take no such further action." Joseph scanned the faces of his co-conspirators and saw only panic, fear. "Surrender." "No," Joseph told them. "No." He told Captain Schroeder. "My father told me what would happen to him in those camps. I can't let that happen to my mother and my little sister. We can't go back to Germany." The first officer took that moment to try and pull free from the men holding him. There was struggle. The other sailors moved to help him, and the other mutineers flinched, ready to fight. "Ostermeyer, no," Captain Schroeder commanded. "Cease and desist. That's an order." The first officer froze, and Posner froze too. The lead pipe in his hand still raised in threat. Nobody moved. The captain raised his hands. "I promise you, men," he said quietly, his voice almost a whisper. "I promise you, in my honor, as sea captain, I will do everything possible to land you in England. I will run the ship aground there if I must. But you must stand down and promise me no further trouble." Posner lowered his pipe. "Agreed," he said. No, Joseph wanted to argue, but everyone else agreed. Joseph threw his pipe to the ground and left without the other men. They were going back to Europe. There was nothing he could do about it.